Deixa eu preparar aqui. Vamos lá. Hare Krishna. Today we are studying two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, the story of King Vena. And we have text 30 and 31. 31 on the board. So I'll read 30 by myself. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Iti te sat kṛtasteṇa dvija pandita manina bhagnayam bhavya yachnayam tasmai vidura chukruduhu. Translation. My dear Vidura, all good fortune unto you. The foolish king Vena, who thought himself very learned, thus insulted the great sages, and the sages, being broken-hearted by the king's words, became very angry at him. So, my dear Vidura, all good fortune unto you. The foolish king, who thought himself very learned, thus insulted the great sages, and the sages, being broken-hearted by the king's words, became very angry at him. And these are the angry words of the sages that we can read together. Hanyatham anyathamesha apa prakriti dharuna jivan jagat asau asho kurute basma sadruvam. Hanyatham hanyatham esha papa prakriti darunah jivan jagat asau ashu kurute basma sadruvam. Vaishnavis, okay, one more, please. Vaishnavis. Thank you. Translation word by word. Anyatam. Kill him. Anyatam. Kill him. Esha. This king. Papaha. Representative of sin. Prakriti. By nature. Daruna. Most dreadful. Jivan. While living. Jagat. The whole world. Asau. He. Ashu. Very soon. Kurute. Will make. Basmasat into ashes. Dhruvam. Certainly. Translation. All the great saintly sages immediately cried, kill him, kill him. He is the most dreadful, sinful person. If he lives, he will certainly turn the whole world into ashes in no time. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Saintly persons are generally very kind to all kinds of living entities, but they are not unhappy when a serpent or a scorpion is killed. It is not good for saintly persons to kill, but they are encouraged to kill demons who are exactly like serpents and scorpions. Therefore, all the saintly sages decided to kill King Vena, who was so dreadful and dangerous to all human society. Thank you. We can appreciate the extent to which the saintly sages actually control the king. If the king or government becomes demonic, it is the duty of a saintly person to upset the government and replace it with deserving persons who follow the orders and instructions of saintly persons. Omagati Ramanda Sagan Anjana Saraka Chakshura Maita Mina Tasmai Shri Guru Irma Namashadha Krishna. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vista Gutaleshi Madhya Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurubhami Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunya Vadi Paschatya Deshata Hine Vanchakalpa Drivisha Kripa Sinivisha Patitanam Tanabhyu Vaishnavibhyu Namo Namaha. Translation again, if you like to repeat. All the great saintly sages immediately cried, kill him, kill him. He is the most dreadful, sinful person. If he lives, he will certainly turn the whole world into ashes in no time. Two main subjects I want to discuss today. One is anger, and the second is this relation between the saintly people and the government. As far as anger, according to the Bhagavad Gita, all the living entities in this world, we are all born under the control of Icha and Dvesha, Raga and Dvesha. Icha means desire and Dvesha means hatred. We are all controlled by this duality. Icha, Dvesha, Samuttena, Dvandva Mohena Bharata. But this moha, but this illusion of duality. And so therefore we are always pushed internally, psychologically, to be attracted to certain experiences, and to be repulsed by other experiences. And this, when our ichcha, when our desire is not satisfied, then anger comes. Kama krodha. Krodha is considered like the younger sister of kama. When there is lust, when there is desire, when there is a strong ambition for something, and that ambition is not fulfilled, then krodha comes. We are all familiar with the description in Bhagavad Gita when Lord Krishna explained the genesis of krodha in the second chapter. Dhyayato vishaya pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate. Dhyayato vishaya pumsam. We get into the contemplation of some object of the senses. Dhyayato, like dhyana, meditation. We meditate on something that we think will make us happy. Sangas teshu pajayate, and from that meditation, from that contemplation, the object is brought inside us, and sangha, that affinity, that attachment, is born. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. From this affinity, then comes desire. Connection is created, and then the desire, the aspiration, the hope, the whole emotional involvement and investment is there, which turns into desire, kama. And then kama, krodha, vijayate. From kama, unfulfilled kama, then krodha comes, anger comes. And in fact, Krishna speaks about krodha quite a few times. In many chapters of the Gita, he brings up this krodha. In the 16 chapters, I believe, he even says that krodha or anger is one of the three gates to hell. Kama, krodha, and lobha. And Krishna says that one should close these gates by all means, because they lead to hell. At the same time, although we understand that krodha generally is a negative emotion and generally it's a degrading, debasing emotion and feeling, there are cases in which this krodha is legitimate and it's even recommended. In fact, I don't want to trespass too much into tomorrow's verse, but tomorrow, in the purport of tomorrow's verse, Srila Prabhupada will even say that in some case, if one does not get angry, it's a major spiritual disqualification. It's a major fault. When the Lord and the devotees of the Lord are attacked, insulted, if one does not become angry, that's very bad for one's spiritual life. So here, in today's verse, the first verse, we see the sages becoming angry. We read that they felt brokenhearted by the king's word, and they became very angry at him. And apparently, if you take at face value the verse, they were not too worried about their own reputation or their own equity. But in fact, they don't say, we don't see today, we don't see tomorrow. They don't say, oh, he insulted us. No, they are very angry that he insulted God and that he will destroy the world. Kurute basmasad druham. He will turn the world into ashes. That's what worries them. And therefore, anyatam, kill him. So this is an example of legitimate anger, and a type of anger that we should be very careful not to avoid. Because indifference in front of an insult to God or to the devotees of God is very bad for one's spiritual life. Any question on anger or comments on anger before we move to a different topic?
I believe they had a plan set up like this, the sages, that they had agreed amongst themselves in the beginning that we shall try to cure him by sweet words. And if he doesn't come around, then we'll kill him. Is that, if I am I remembering it properly?
Few verses before, yes, it says something like that. It says that it says that they were already angry. The saintly sages continue thinking, of course we are completely aware of his mischievous nature, yet nevertheless we enthroned Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned by the public and we will join them. Thus by our prowess we shall burn him to ashes. So there was already the plan, because they were seeing that either he burns the world to ashes or we burn him to ashes. And the next verse, this is verse 13. The great sages, having thus decided, approached King Vena. Concealing their real anger, they pacified him with sweet words and then spoke as follows. And there is the preaching of the sages to Vena, which, as you reminded us, that he rejected. So yes, they were already angry, but they did put an appearance of peace, an appearance of sweetness. They gave him the last chance, and he didn't take it. But it seems that they skipped, at least they seem that they skipped a step, because in their plan was, if he doesn't accept us, then the population will sort of revolt, and then we will join the population. But it seems that the sages saw that the situation was so urgent that they didn't even wait for the population to rally against the king. They just decided, it seems, on the spot to kill him. Kind of a shortcut. Probably the situation was even more serious than what they had expected. Sometimes it happens. No, we think, well, the person can be cured, maybe with some sweet words, but then we actually see that there's no dialogue, there's no possibility of any sort of mediation. Anything else on anger? So the second topic is it's introduced by Srila Prabhupada. At the end of the purport, he says, if the king or government becomes demonic, it is the duty of a saintly person to upset the government and replace it with deserving persons who follow the orders and instructions of saintly persons. So Srila Prabhupada says that when the government, king or government, in other words, the ruling power, could be a king in a place where there is no monarchy, like many countries of the world, most countries in the world, the government. But when the government becomes demonic, it is the duty of saintly person to upset the government. So I was thinking exactly what this means for us as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as members of the disciplic succession, and I was trying to understand, does it mean that we should come to this level of power, mystic power, like the sages, that just by chanting one mantra, they will kill the king? And what does it exactly mean when the government becomes demonic? There are a lot of adharmic, impious activities allowed and sometimes even promoted by the government. But what is the limit? What is the extent a saintly person can say, no, the government is not so demonic? There are many things going on. I mean, even in India, there are slaughterhouses for many animals, in some states also for cows. There is abortion and many other things which are allowed by the government. But I'm giving India as an example because we are in India. But in all countries of the world, many sinful activities are even protected or promoted by the government. So what should be our mood? Should we think it's a priority because it's an instruction of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada says, if the king of government becomes demonic, it is the duty of a saintly person to upset the government. And so to what extent is the duty of a saintly person of a society of saintly persons? And how do you go about upsetting the government? So I was thinking, because I was called to speak on this verse, and I need to give some sort of explanation, some sort of message related to this. And it's complex because there are many factors. One can take it in the modern parlance is called a fundamentalist or integralist way, and just, well, Prabhupada says the duty of a saintly person to upset the government. Somebody may take it as, well, this is it's our duty and we have to put all our energy into upsetting the government. There are about 200 governments in the world, and let's start. Let's do something. So then I thought to illuminate the topic, I thought to look into how actually Srila Prabhupada dealt with the different governments. What was his approach? Besides these instructions, which are kind of cryptic instructions in this verse, how Srila Prabhupada dealt with the government authorities? And we see a range of moods, a range of attitudes. In general, we see that Srila Prabhupada was very I would say respectful. Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of honor sometimes to government officials. And we could see there are different elements. One is the aspect that a devotee should obviously establish strategic alliances to further his mission, and the government of power. It could be local government, state government, national government. In some place like Europe, they have a sort of continental government. So the government has power, and the devotee certainly has to consider the power of the government. And so it seems Srila Prabhupada's, I would say, main example is to create a friendly relation based on respect. And I have selected for you a couple of instances how actually Srila Prabhupada dealt with government power. One is from Vrindavan. It was the August of 1974. At that time, the devotees in Vrindavan were struggling to finish the Krishna Balaram Mandir. In fact, many of you, or perhaps all of you, remember from the Lilamrita, how Srila Prabhupada had actually announced the inauguration for Janmashtami. But then he went there and he was very disappointed that the temple was nowhere near completion. And he became very upset. So he went there for the inauguration of Krishna Balaram Mandir, and then he had to postpone it to Ram Navami, another like 7-8 months later. And at that time, there was the governor of Uttar Pradesh. Vrindavan is in Uttar Pradesh. This governor was a Muslim. His name was Akbar Ali Khan. And he was traveling in the area. And one common friend, Seth Bisan Chand, was a friend of Srila Prabhupada and a friend of the governor. He inspired the governor to visit the temple. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada was extremely sick. It was one of the most serious illness times. And I'm reading from the Lilamrita. Prabhupada thought that perhaps the governor would agree to help the devotees, at least in such matters as getting government permission for steel and cement. It's a major issue to find the right steel and right cement for the temple. Therefore, despite his failing health, he insisted that the devotees hold the reception in the courtyard, and we would personally go out and greet the governor. Lying on his back and speaking in a faint voice, he ordered a feast to be cooked and tables and chairs to be arranged in the courtyard. Then the Lilamrita explained how the devotees tried to encourage Prabhupada not to get involved. I mean, he was very, very sick. And they told Srila Prabhupada, will do everything ourselves. You take rest, you take care. And Prabhupada said, yes, come. I have to go out and meet him. And Shuta Kirti dressed Prabhupada in a fresh silk dhoti. Prabhupada tried to apply the Vaishnava tilak to his forehead, but even that was a struggle and took more than 5 minutes. When they were ready to go, Prabhupada asked his servant, have I put on my tilak? He seemed almost delirious from the fever and was unable to stand. So anyway, they brought him out in a chair, could hardly walk. And then they had more details about the security arrangement and so on. When the governor arrived, Srila Prabhupada stood up. The devotees were amazed to see Prabhupada standing straight and shaking the governor's hand. Prabhupada and the governor stood together for a while and then sat down. They saw the devotees saw Prabhupada shivering and trembling, yet trying to smile and be gracious with his guest. The devotees were in great anxiety, thinking the Prabhupada life might end at any moment. It was that serious. And yet they took part in the sociable pretense along with the spiritual master. The governor, on invitation, gave a speech talking about how India's future lay in industry. Then Prabhupada stood to speak, leaning against his chair. His eyes were very dark, and he was barely able to focus his vision. Although he had spoken very little for almost 2 weeks, he now spoke for 20 minutes, while the governor listened politely. Afterward, Prabhupada sat and honored Prasadam with the governor and his entourage of 15 ministers. After the governor left, the devotees carried Prabhupada back to his room, where he collapsed with a 105-degree temperature. So this is perhaps a very dramatic example how Srila Prabhupada gave so much importance of giving the best reception. He could have, maybe just meet the governor and went back, and you know, most people will understand Srila Prabhupada is not feeling well. But he did all what he had to do. He gave a 20-minute speech, he stood when the governor arrived. So this is a strong message that the same person who wrote this purport that we had to remove the government went through such an austerity just to honor a governor, by the way, is a Muslim governor, Uttar Pradesh, when he visited one of our temples. And there is some historical precedents that happened here in West Bengal. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. You remember when Sanatan Goswami was in the service of the Nawab, of the Muslim king. At one point he retired, he went home and studied the Srimad Bhagavatam with the Brahmanas. And then the king sort of suspected that, and he told, Sanatan Goswami told the king that he was sick, he could not attend to the government business. And then this Nawab suspected that there was something not right, so he went to Sanatan Goswami's house, and he found that he was actually happily and reading Srimad Bhagavatam with all these Brahmanas. So then the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, as soon as all the Brahmanas and Sanatan Goswami saw the Nawab appear, they all stood up and respectfully gave him a sitting place to honor him. And Srila Prabhupada says, although Nawab Hussain Shah was a Melecha Yavana, he was nonetheless the governor of the country. And the learned scholars and Sanatan Goswami offered him all the respect due to a king, or a governor. When a person occupies an exalted executive post, one should consider that he has acquired the grace of the Lord. So, and within this cultural context, Srila Prabhupada's behavior with the Muslim governor in Uttar Pradesh, it's better understood. In other words, somebody who is at that level of power has received some sort of blessing from the Lord. And we should honor that. We should respect that. We may not agree with many of the things they do in private or many of the choices they make, but the idea is that they are there because somewhat the Lord has allowed them to be there and to have that type of influence. So that should be respected. At the same time, as Brahmanas, as a Brahminical movement, Vaishnava Brahminical movement, it's also our duty to try our best to influence these rulers. Not only to respect, oh, they are the rulers, they got elected, or somehow they conquered the post, we should honor them. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that we should try our best to influence them for the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement, furthering the Hare Krishna movement, and for their own benefit, to allow them to do the best job as rulers. So there is another important example of Srila Prabhupada meeting the supreme ruler of India at the time, Indira Gandhi. And there is a description also in Lilamrita. It's 1 year after the meeting of the UP governor. It's August 22nd, 1975. And it's very, I think, very important because, again, it gives us a chance to see how Srila Prabhupada dealt with these top leaders. This is one of the top leaders of the world. Indira Gandhi is the prime minister of the largest democracy in the world. And she had a very authoritative type of style. She took some very strong stands on certain things, like nuclear power. She decided India has to become a nuclear power, and that automatically prevented all sorts of help from other countries, basically. And it was a very controversial decision, but she went ahead. And many other decisions. She was a very strong politician. And as all of you may know, then she was killed 9 years later, 1984. And when Srila Prabhupada met her in August 75, 2 days before, the Bangladesh Prime Minister was also had been killed. And there were rumors that the next would be Indira Gandhi. So she was very disturbed She was in a very disturbed frame of mind. And in fact, the guards did not allow the Western devotees to come inside. Srila Prabhupada went with different disciples, but they did not allow any foreigner to come inside to meet her. They only allowed Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had written a list of points, 10 points he wanted to discuss with Indira Gandhi. You can see the original list handwritten by Srila Prabhupada in Srila Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan. Now there's Srila Prabhupada's room, and then there is another other smaller rooms. One of those showcases, you will see the little notebook with Srila Prabhupada's handwritten notes, the 10 points that he wanted to discuss with Indira Gandhi. So without getting too much into the details, I just go through the list, just to give an idea of the mind of Srila Prabhupada, how he would see his role as the founder acharya of the Hare Krishna movement, as a holy person, how that he could influence Indira Gandhi for the best of ISKCON, for the best of the country. Number one, grant immigration for 500 foreigners. That was a big problem at the time. The devotees only could get these tourist visas, and every 6 months they had to go. It was a lot of, some of us have experience of that, having to leave the country, get a new visa. You don't know if you'll get it or not. There is cost involved. And there is also the fact that many services are disrupted. At that time, foreign devotees were running ISKCON India mostly. Now mostly is run by the Indian devotees, devotees from India. Okay, number two, all the MPs, all the member of parliament should be initiated brahmanas. And he's going to tell this to Indira Gandhi. Well, Indira Gandhi is not even married with a Hindu, by the way. So anyway, yeah, we could talk a lot on this, but we don't have the time. Sanjay, the king. Some of you know who Sanjay is. Sanjay is the Indira Gandhi's son. So Prabhupada proposed that the Indira Gandhi somehow arranges that his son becomes the king of India. Sanjay Gandhi later was killed in an airplane crash. So therefore you don't hear more about Sanjay Gandhi. You hear about Rajiv Gandhi, which actually became also the prime minister, and he also became killed. Number four, close slaughterhouses. Number five, chanting. I don't know exactly, it's just the one word, chanting. I don't know exactly what does it mean in this context. Number six, meat eaters at home. No public meat eating. Number seven, prostitution punishable. Number eight, no religious group except Bhagavad Gita as it is. Number nine, all government officers must join kirtan at least twice a day. Number 10, support Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Indira Gandhi again was very disturbed. In fact, Srila Prabhupada felt that she didn't really even want to have this meeting, but because she had promised, she agreed to see Srila Prabhupada. She had a lot of appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, so she said something nice, congratulations for your work. And then, I mean, 75, the Hare Krishna movement was in a full swing, a full expansion. She was impressed and supportive. So Srila Prabhupada saw she couldn't really take any of this advice. So the only thing Srila Prabhupada bring up is the to help the foreign devotees to get a visa. So it was a very short meeting, and Indira Gandhi personally said, I'm very disturbed, I'm hearing all this killing, and so the meeting was very short. But this remains as a documentation of what Srila Prabhupada had in mind to present. And obviously, these are his personal notes. Some are very cryptic, like chanting, what exactly he would say. We don't know exactly how he would present this. But it was on his agenda. Okay. Then, a couple more examples of Prabhupada, his approach to the government. We moved to America, and so far there have all been examples in India. These are two letters to, two letters. One to Amarendra Prabhu. Some of you know him, he's still very active as a lawyer. He's still very active with the BBT and GBC issues. Has been involved in this Turley case, so he's still very much an active member. So at that time, he was running for city commissioner in Gainesville, Florida. And this is March 72. So Prabhupada said, I'm very much pleased that you are expanding our position at Gainesville Temple. Especially I'm glad that you are entering politics to try for city commissioner position. And the people are innocent. We have seen this everywhere, even in Russia. It is only these rascals' leaders who have spoiled everything by fooling the people for their personal advantage. So I'm very much serious that you all boys and girls should expose these Nixons and remove them. Okay, some of you may not be familiar. Who are these Nixons? There was a president of the United States of America. His name was Richard Nixon. And at the time, I'm not sure if at that time was already the scandal. I think the scandal already started. There was a Watergate scandal. I mean, by nowadays standard, it's not a big deal, but in America somehow it was a major scandal. Somehow this Richard Nixon made some tape recordings of unauthorized tape recordings of his political opponents, and there were two journalists, I believe from the Washington Post, who somewhat exposed this. And later on this scandal snowballed and he had to resign, something like that. So Prabhupada mentioned Nixon many times in his conversations and letters. And Prabhupada says, and here you see the same concept of the verse, remove, upset the government, and replace it. Here is a remove them, remove these Nixons. Popularize this movement in the world, but better to avoid talk of slaughterhouses, illicit sex, etc. And give the public instead the positive approach to life of Krishna consciousness. So you see, again, when we talk about politics, when we talk about dealing with government, everything has to be considered according to the place, the time, the circumstances, the candidate, the local culture. Srila Prabhupada, we saw before, 5 minutes before, we saw Prabhupada wanted to tell Indira Gandhi, stop the slaughterhouses. But here, to his disciple, first of all, he was only a city commissioner, candidate, was not the prime minister of India. But he said, avoid talking about slaughterhouses or illicit sex. Just bring the positive approach to life. Okay. Kindly keep me informed how your election comes out or any publicity you will get in the newspapers. Then a couple of years later, there's another letter, this time to a GBC, Rupanuga Prabhu, and I won't read the whole letter, but a few excerpts are very interesting. So this Rupanuga was one of the very senior Srila Prabhupada disciples, very trusted Srila Prabhupada disciple. In fact, you may remember from Lilamrita, when in the early 70s, the 1970, there was this big, I won't say conspiracy, but big problem inside ISKCON. Different preaching, the Prabhupada was God, or the Prabhupada actually, the real guru was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed. And one day, among all the disciples in the world, he called three. He called Bhagavan, he called Tamakrishna, at the time Maharaj, and then he called Rupanuga. So he was one of the most trusted and senior devotees, and he was a GBC. So Srila Prabhupada tells him, "You simply educate the people in this Krishna conscious philosophy, and then there will be no difficulty in capturing the government. In your country, there is very good system of democracy." So let's take a pause here. See, we hear many times how Prabhupada said, democracy, demon crazy. And it's true, he said those things. But he also said these things. So when we talk about politics, systems of government, what Prabhupada wanted, let's remember the whole picture. There are different pixels to this picture. And one pixel, important pixel, is Prabhupada writing to a GBC saying, in your country there is very good system of democracy. As we have seen just recently, the people, as the common people, have so much power that they were able to get down this Nixon, who is obviously a rascal. So, if we can simply convince a good majority of persons, then they will automatically want a Krishna conscious leader. So this is another way how to remove the government or replace the government. Simply by preaching, you can inspire so many people, you can inform and educate so many people to see what's the standard for a government leader, and then they will elect somebody in the good system of democracy. They will elect somebody who tally with that type of description, who has those qualities, who has those values. And we see it actually in practice in the world. There are religious movements in democracy that they are able to influence enough number of people to actually make a change, to influence the government. Just to give you an example, there's a new Christian movement in Colombia, in South America, relatively new, maybe started, 15, 20 years ago. They are especially expanding through a cellular approach. They make small groups. It's called the G12 approach. Every person in a group forms his own group, and in that group, every person forms his own group. And in Colombia, they grew up a few years ago, there were 250,000. 250,000 just in Colombia, from nothing. And I saw a video on YouTube where the president of the country comes to their celebration. They rented a stadium and they have their own festival. He comes to their celebration and he says nice words. He says, very good that you are here. I'm sure you're giving the country a very good spiritual influence. I came here before my election. He said, also because I wanted your help. And everybody laughs. You wanted votes. But now I'm coming again. I'm very happy to what you're doing. And the wife of the main pastor, Pastor, I believe, Castellanos is his name, the wife got elected to the parliament. Because when he had 250,000 people, 250,000 votes, it's not a joke. And when you get people in the government, you get people in the parliament, then obviously the politicians, they had to take They have to take you in consideration. If we do this law, what they will think, how they will vote. So Srila Prabhupada is also giving us this vision. When enough people become Krishna consciousness, in the system of democracy where people choose their leaders, if we are able to influence enough people, they will choose somebody who is at least compatible with Krishna consciousness. So these are few considerations on these themes. Is there any comment or question? Feel free to go if you have to, but if you have some comments or questions, we can stay here a few minutes more.
Prabhupada had said, and it was remembered by Aviram, that when Prabhupada came...
Can everybody hear?
Sorry,
is not loud
speaking
enough.
Louder?
Yeah, sure.
That Prabhupada had said, made a very memorable statement that 50% of my mission is finished and that 50% is unfinished, and he was referring to the implementation of Varnashram. And so the question is, to what extent is that implementation of Varnashram coinciding with the theme that you presented today of Prabhupada's interest to influence government, in some case become part of the government or even take over the government?
I think, you'll allow me to defer discussing in depth due to the time shortage and also due to the vastness of the topic. Varnashram, as you know, Varnashram is a natural system. In other words, in every system, whatever system it is, there are intellectuals, teachers, the administrators, rulers. There is the productive class, the economic power horse, and then there is the workers. Even if you see the flag of the China, flag of China is red, and there are five stars in the corner, one in the corner and four around. So those four are the four Varnas: intellectuals, administrators, commercial people, and workers. And the one single star is the Communist Party. So even in a place where China, apparently so far from Varnashram ideals, they very much consider and recognize that, yeah, there are four types of people in a society. So even if we don't launch or we don't get into the details of Varnashram within ISKCON, outside ISKCON, how to go about it, which really I hope you allow me to defer on that, I mean, a deep discussion. We can see that in any society there are rulers. That may be just, a proper sense, another circumstance, like Shudras. And we can see sometimes they elect actors, singers, many countries in India, in America, in Europe. Some people are popular because they are acted in a certain, appealing way, and they become governors and presidents. Ronald Reagan, you know very well, he was an actor. Schwarzenegger, the governor of California, he was an actor. Now he's going to act again in Terminator 5, it seems. And India, there's so many actors. There was this N.T. Rama Rao in Andhra Pradesh. He was very famous, he was a very good actor, especially for Krishna and Rama roles. Many of you, I think all of you have seen this movie, Sita Swayamvar, beautiful movie, and he's Rama there, N.T. Rama Rao. And he was, now I think he's dead. Is he dead? Huh? Long time back he died. But he was campaigning with posters of him dressed as Krishna and Ramachandra. That was his platform, basically. And he would wear orange robes. I don't know if he was married or no, but he was married. So he was married, but he would wear long robes. Anyway, so I'm just giving an example. Whoever goes up, we need to influence them. First of all, make friends with them so that they don't create too much trouble. And if they can help our movement, you know, land and practical things, well and good. So make friends with them. And respect them, somehow they got that position. God allowed them to have that position. So make friends with them. They may be Christians, Muslims, Hindus, atheists. Get a good relation with them. Then consider if you can influence them. Like we hear Nelson Mandela, ex-president of South Africa. We heard from his personal secretary. I heard even he would every day read the Science of Self-Realization of Srila Prabhupada. If not every day, he would read Srila Prabhupada books. We know Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, he did influence different rulers, different government authorities. So, make friends. As a summary, make friends with them. Try to influence them with our views, with Krishna's views. And in some case, when it's possible, when you got the right people, try to join them in ruling the country. Or, in this case, like in Maharaj Vena, you got to do something to change the government. If you have that power, if you have that situation, and especially, as Prabhupada says here, it's a duty of a saintly person to accept the government, if it becomes demoniac, and replace it with deserving persons who follow the orders and instruction of saintly persons. So before removing something, you need to see that you have a replacement. Otherwise, your replacement may be worse than what you're removing. Just like now, those who follow the world news, there is this big alliance, America, NATO, North American Treaty Organization, North America and all European countries, they are attacking the ruler of Libya in North Africa, Mr. Gaddafi, and they're trying to get him out. Yesterday they killed one of his 8 sons. They killed 3 of his nephews because they're bombarding the bunker where he's taking shelter. But nobody has any idea that when they remove him, who will take up? Nobody has any, at least I don't know, maybe they have some plan. But it may be worse than Gaddafi. So before you remove somebody, you also need to think whom you remove with. So Prabhu, again, without getting too much into the Varnashram, there will always be rulers, and I think our duty is to make friends, try to influence, try to somewhat put people who are more as Krishna conscious as possible, and in some case, maybe participate in changing the situation. Okay? We got 2 questions. Should we close here officially and then we can talk in private? Huh? So I close here officially because it's already over time and I apologize. No, we'll talk more. I close and then you'll ask the question. So thank you for your attention. Thank you to those who have joined us in the internet and those who have listened on the radio. Grantara Shiva Bhagavatam Ki, Shiva Prabhupada Ki. What
he didn't. Only because he was not bankrupt.